Hey y'all.
Hey,
welcome
hey.
Back to Ribs Time.
Yeah, we're back.
Welcome back to I and Akilah Podcast, where we chat about true crime stories, usually something unusual from our perspectives. I'm Carter.
I'm Eloise.
And I'm Erin.
And welcome.
It's always weird, like, saying hey, because they're right. Not here.
Right.
But they will be here.
Especially since we've already been, like, talking on the microphone, trying to figure everything out for 15 minutes today. 15 minutes,
which is our record time, because it took weeks the first time. We had to buy some mics, send them back, get some more, test it out. It didn't work. So
get a mixer. Now we need a new USB cord. It's okay, though.
Yeah. One of these episodes we'll start it without complaining about.
One of these days.
We figured it out.
Welcome to the Figuring Out How to Start a Podcast podcast.
Right. That's
I don't think we have a sponsor this week.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. So we sponsored ourselves. High five, friends. Go us. But if you are interested in sponsoring an episode, those monies go toward transcribing our episodes so that our deaf and hard of hearing friends can access this podcast with the rest of us. So I'll just slide right into the current and crime for this week.
Yes, sir.
Sounds good.
So I'm going to be reading an article from truecrimedaily.com. It was posted August 25th, 2021, this year. And it was written by Kenny McBride, I believe. So the title is Michigan Man Gets Life in Prison for Murdering Grandma with Piggy Bank and Beheading Her.
That's just so much.
It is a lot. Yeah. It's quite a bit.
That's right on here already. We ain't even started.
We should just read the titles of the articles and that be it.
Honestly, the current occurrence. Honestly, because that tells me everything I need to know.
Right.
I need to know more. I am curious. So in Monroe County, Michigan, I believe it's abbreviated. Don't kill me if it's not Michigan. A 47-year-old temperance man was sentenced to life in prison for the 2020 death of his 79-year-old step-grandmother. How do you say that?
I mean, I want to say step-grandmother.
Step-grandmother. Do you want to say grand-stepmother? I don't know why I said that.
Grandmother. Stepmother.
Either way, it's by marriage. Yeah.
Which one is
whom he beheaded after killing her. According to WTOL-TV, in addition to the life sentence without the possibility of parole, Kenny McBride was also sentenced to 114 to 480 months for mutilation. He was convicted of first-degree murder and disinterment and mutilation of a dead body on June 10th, 2021. The Monroe County Prosecutor's Office wrote in a statement that the victim, Cecilia Gibson, lived with her son, who is also the defendant's father. WTOL identified Gibson's son as Kenneth Reese. McBride was reportedly staying with his father and Gibson at the time of her death. When Reese came home from work at 3 a.m. on February 17th, 2020, he reportedly found a body with significant amounts of blood in his darkened living room. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
no. No.
At 3 a.m. and you just stumble in and there's a body in your house.
I think I'd just turn back around.
Yeah, fair. No. I definitely would. I would walk right back.
I cannot
the fuck out.
This.
Yeah.
I would also have trauma with getting up in the middle of the night from then on.
Right.
Like, yeah. I would, milk and cookies, not me. Like, it's not happening.
Forget about
bitch,
it.
Remember what happened last time? Like, no.
Who's coming home from work? I feel like that's somehow even worse.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah.
No. I already hate coming to a dark house.
Yes.
So
I leave my living room light on all night, regardless, just so people think someone's up in the living room, but also just so I can see my way.
That's a good idea.
Upstairs, yeah. I should get one of those little timer things because it ends up being on for 24 hours. We're getting really off track, but my light bill be high. But I'm scared. McBride, who was home at the time, reportedly said he had, quote unquote, no knowledge of the struggle or the body. According to the statement, Monroe County Sheriff's Office deputies arrived at the scene and found the dismembered body of Cecilia Gibson and clear signs of a violent, bloody struggle. She was 79. Why are we struggling?
What?
Why were you fighting her? Like, okay. The Monroe County Prosecutor's Office wrote, McBride and Gibson got into an argument over McBride's children, all but one of whom McBride had ignored for years. So he just trifling in general.
Mm-hmm.
McBride reportedly had injuries on his hands and head that reflected a physical struggle. I'm glad she got some licks.
Yeah, I'm glad she beat his ass, but she went out strong.
So. But he said he got them from working on his car. No, sir.
Yeah, no.
McBride reportedly beat Gibson with a piggy bank and a... It's not funny. Sorry. and a metal child gate. It is absurd. It's ridiculous. And a metal child gate, hitting her at least 19 times. After she died, he reportedly used 3 different knives to decapitate her and then threw her head in the yard.
Oh, my God.
The head reportedly landed near where Reese parked his car, but Reese did not see it when he returned from work.
Because he wasn't looking for a head in his damn front yard. Exactly.
I can't. No. Investigators found knives, bloody jeans, and torn photographs of McBride's children, as well as DNA evidence that linked McBride to the crime.
Wow. What?
Hey, yeah.
That's so much.
It's
like,
so much.
No, that's so fucking much.
She was 79. So basically what happened is, I guess she was like, you're a trifling ass daddy and you should do better. And so he murdered her with a piggy bank. Like, what?
And then beheaded her.
And then beheaded. That's
because it's one thing. I mean, it's a lot of things to murder with a piggy bank.
Yeah, no. You have to be extremely violent to do some shit like that.
And then Carter's
a piggy bank. Like, what is wrong with
but
you?
But then to behead. And it was like.
And it takes a lot to cut somebody's head off.
Right, exactly. And clearly he didn't know which knife to use. So he tried one knife and then was like, oh, let me keep going.
Because it's super important to me that I get this head out of this house.
Like, throw it in the yard. Like, not in the trash. Not in. You know what I mean? It's not funny. It's absurd. Because you know what? You know what the wildest takeaway from all this is? The easier thing to do would just be to take care of your kids. But then, like, niggas don't want to take care of your kids. Like, you know what? I'm just going to beat this bitch with a piggy bank, decapitate her, because I'd be damned if I take care of my kids. Fuck that shit. Like, you're not going to catch me out here changing diapers and fucking packing lunches and shit, bitch.
Wow.
Like, niggas, that's
insane. Will you put it like that?
That's why I'm not going to get pregnant by no nigga, because, like, I can't do it.
This specifically is why.
It was a 1% of a chance of it happening, but like now it's like 100%. I'm not doing it.
To clarify, this is a non-nigga that we're talking
this is,
about.
Yeah, this is a very, very non-nigga person we talking about. But still,
yes,
I can't do it.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Step-grandmother. She was 79.
That's so sad.
She was hitting the age where it's like, okay, I made it to the ripe old age of 80. Because nobody says ripe old age of 70-something. Like, that's, I mean, you are older, but you know what I mean? Like, she made it throughout all her life just to get... Like, the other lady we were talking about in the other case who was, like, a ballerina when she was younger or something like that. She made it all to that time instead of dying of old age. Here comes some trifling-ass non-nigga, like, who killed you because you spoke the truth. Like, just skip town. Just change your name.
Yeah.
And that's so inhumane. Much. I mean, there's no humane way to do that. But, you know, she was an older woman. Yeah. So you didn't have to do all that, probably.
Yeah.
Like, you could have done it in a different way.
I'm sure it was also her house. Did I say whether or not? Because that'd be the other thing. Because you laid up in my house.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're going to murder me because I'm asking you to be responsible?
Oof.
Yeah.
Can't even fucking do it.
Well, that's current and crime.
Yeah, that is what's going on in the world today.
That's what I'm saying. That's what's happening in these streets.
All right.
I did it again? Oh, no. Yeah. I don't know. We're
bad. Welcome back, y'all. We're ready for this week's story, or this week's case. Aaron's our lead investigator, so take it away with a content warning,
detective.
Thank you. Okay, so content warnings, mentions of suicide, domestic abuse, sexual assault, including rape and molestation, incest, and extreme violence.
God damn.
I know, it's a lot. Okay, so this case is based in France, so I'm not even going to pretend to know how to pronounce some of these names and stuff.
Just do your best.
Right. Oui, oui. So,
No sleep card is the best card.
I'm delirious.
So all, like, one of our French... listeners, don't get upset with me. But this is the story of the Papin sisters. It's P-A-P-I-N.
It might be sure. Papin.
Papin?
Yeah.
Okay.
They do just say what's more comfortable.
Yeah. I'm just gonna, don't try to remember that.
Okay.
I'm just adding my 2 cents.
I'm gonna say it in my Midwestern accent and we'll just go from there. Okay, so Christine and Leia Papin, referred to as the Papin sisters, came from a troubled family in Le Mans. It's M-A-N-S.
Okay.
Le Mans, France. So the city of Le Mans is known for a famous car race that takes place every year called the 24 Hours in Le Mans. And also they're known for the Pepin sisters, so that tells you enough.
Oh, damn. They drive for 24, is the race 24 hours?
I didn't look into the race. I'm not sure.
Nobody gives a fuck about that race. It's all about the Pepin sisters.
That's okay. That's what they know for. Let's get into it.
Okay, so their mother's name was Clemence de Ray, and their father's name is Gustave Pepin. Although there were rumors around town that Clemence was having an affair with her boss. And according to the different sources, it was like she was, they weren't sure, whatever, but there were rumors. So Gustave still loved her, according to this source. And in October of 1901, she became pregnant, and then they decided to get married. So this is in the early 1900s.
Oh, okay.
Their first daughter, Amelia, was born in February of 1902.
First girls always be named Amelia.
Right. I wonder if that's like the most common name.
Yeah.
So Gustave was always skeptical of his wife and the affair. He can never really let it go. And after about 2 years of, or after Amelia was born, he decided that he was going to take a job in a different town to take Clemence away from her boss. But Clemence was not having it, and she threatened suicide and was throwing a fit. And
they must be fired.
Right? I was like, girl, you're not doing a good job trying to cover up this affair.
Right.
But it just furthered the suspicion, and eventually Clemence agreed to move because she was pregnant with their second child. So the couple moved, and they started a new life in this new city.
Are these kids even his?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I listened to a podcast about this, and that was a question that was brought up there, too.
But they didn't have paternity back then, so
yeah,
it's like,
it was like
they turned out kind of looking like him.
It just was what it was. So the relationship progressively became more volatile, and reports showed that Clemence showed no affection for her children or her husband, and that she was an unstable individual. And then Gustave turned to alcohol to deal with all of it. So he was an alcoholic, and she was not a great mother.
Yikes.
So that's a great foundation. Okay, so now the children. Amelia, who was born before, who they were pregnant with before they got married. When she was 9 or 10 years old, Clemence sent her to the Bon Pasteur Catholic Orphanage.
Yikes. Why is she at the orphanage?
Yeah.
She has two whole parents. The fuck?
Two terrible parents.
Yeah.
So this orphanage had a reputation for being cruel to children, and Clemence knew this, and she still sent her there. Trash.
Absolutely.
So later information surfaced that her father had raped her at the age of 10.
Yikes.
So after the fact, they found out that the father had raped her, and then the mother sent her to the orphanage.
Oh, whoa.
So Amelia later joined a convent that was connected to the orphanage and became a nun. So that's kind of her story.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, yeah, her life kind of took a good turn.
Yeah, a better one, I guess, depending on how you... She wanted to join the convent, so I want to say it was a better turn for her. But she's not the focus of this, so...
Oh, I thought she's one of the sisters. That's what I was like,
she is one of the sisters, but not one of the... not one of the important ones.
Oh, okay.
No.
I just imagine like a killer nun or something.
No, in this case, you don't want to be an important one.
Yeah.
Christine, who is the second child, was born on March 8th, 1905. She was a Pisces.
Ooh. I don't know the name, but okay.
The person I was hanging out this weekend is a Pisces. That's funny.
Interesting.
So she was the difficult child. Soon after she was born, they gave her away to Gustave's sister, Isabel. So Isabel was a good caretaker, but she thought that men were, quote, the human embodiment of evil.
I mean, bitch was ahead of her time. Well, they gave her honey.
Not the human embodiment, though. All of?
That's very poetic.
Literally, she hated men. And Christine just grew up with this ideology, so... she remained with her aunt for 7 years, and after she was forced to go to the same orphanage as her sister. So while they were both there at the same time, and they became very close at the orphanage, and Christine actually wanted to join the same convent, but her mom wouldn't allow her because she wanted her to work to be able to send money back home. So it was said that she had an average intelligence and her personality was strong, and she was kind of like a leader type. Her employers reported that she could be insolent at times, but she was a hard worker and she knew how to cook.
Hmm.
So that's Christine. Leia is the youngest one, and she was born on September 15th, 1911, She was shy, and she was a Virgo. This is for Carter.
I need to know.
So evaluations indicated that she was of slightly lower intelligence than her sister, and she was more introverted, quiet, and obedient. And from infancy, Leia grew up with her mother's brother until he died. And then she went into a different orphanage until she was 15 years old.
Why do they keep having kids if they're just going to give them away?
I don't know.
Girl, they didn't have birth control.
Right. I mean, yeah, they also didn't have birth control.
Yeah, or the pull-out method. I personally would just be a lesbian. But that's just, I don't know how they treated bitches who was, like, bumping coochies back then. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
What the
deal was. Definitely not well.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So she kind of had to push out these kids. But an orphanage, though, that's so cruel.
Yeah.
Especially if you know the orphanage is trash.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this is perfect for you. Yeah, she didn't care about her kids. So all of the three sisters had been subjected to awful abuse throughout their childhood from orphanage, their mother, and their father. And then, like I mentioned before, the mother barely cared for them, and the dad was also abusive in every way imaginable. Despite the age difference, Christine and Leia became very close, especially after Amelia had left to go to the convent. Christina and Leia witnessed both their parents fighting verbally, physically, and they had to defend themselves against various forms of molestation from their father. So eventually the parents got divorced, and it's not because of, you know, the reasons you'd think, like maybe the mom doesn't like that the dad raped Amelia or that he was trying to molest her other children. It was because she was jealous and she thought that Amelia had asked the dad to do that to her.
What?
Girl, yeah.
It's fucked.
She need her ass beat.
I'm sorry. I hope the kids murdered her.
Yeah, no. Honestly. I'm kind of rooting for them at this point.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting story. You'll see, like, towards the end, there's nuance. So shortly after the divorce, Christine and Leia spent some time in a mental institution. And during this time, they were really quiet. And they just barely talked at all. And they were always together. And they got really close. People who witnessed this reported that they believed the girls were telepathic because they had an unspoken understanding of each. You have?
I think.
Okay.
It's starting to feel a little familiar. I did not know all this backstory, though. So okay. I'm interested. Sorry. Okay.
So some people even suggested that they might have had more than a sister's relationship.
Oh, they might have, like, incestuous?
Yeah. But that was never, like, a concrete observation, but it was talked about in multiple sources. So
okay.
Take that as what you'd want. So
I
in
take that.
I think it might also be like a thing, like whenever they see like women being close, like super close to each other or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that might have been like something.
But then every history book calls every lesbian couple gal pals and roommates. That's so and weird. Stuff. I know.
You're right. So I don't know. Right. Maybe it was. You know.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that with any of my siblings.
I know. I just chose to write that down and forget. In 1926, after their release from the institution, the girls managed to get jobs as maids, and they were working as live-in maids at a mansion for Mr. Lancelin and his wife. So at this point, Christine was 21 and Leia was 15.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a solid age difference, but they were still super close.
They're also just, like, really young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I, like, in my mind, was picturing them older at this point.
Yeah, the story, like, I mean, I'll tell you how old they are when all of this ends, but it happens like when they're all younger than we are, basically. Mm-hmm. So Renee Lancelin was a retired lawyer, and his wife, Leonie, and their grown daughter, Genevieve, all lived in a beautiful two-story townhouse in the city of Le Mans.
You're doing great.
Okay, I'm doing my best. Yeah. Christine served as the family cook, and then Leia cleaned the house. So the sisters were, by most accounts, good girls, quote unquote, model housemaids. Every Sunday they dressed up and attended church, and they had a reputation as being diligent workers with proper behavior. But they were known to be super antisocial, and they preferred the company of each other over others. Which I'm like, so?
Yeah.
By outside accounts, the family treated them really well. They ate the same food as the family, lived in a heated room, and were paid the standard wages of the time. Which I don't feel like is very well, but...
Right, yeah, no. Sounds like the bare minimum to me.
Right. Mm. But I guess of the time that when it came to maids, they weren't treated well at all. So the Lancelins were the envy of every French upper-class household because they seemed to have dedicated and hardworking domestic help. So in truth, the girls were subjected to horrible working conditions. They were forced to work 14 hours a day, and they had less than one day off a week. And then rather than spend the one day off socializing, the girls always stayed in their room. And there were reports that they would occasionally visit a psychic medium who had told them that in their past life they were husband and wife.
What?
Which is weird.
Yeah.
It doesn't help with the incest stuff.
Yeah.
So neither of the sisters had spoken to Renee, the father, during the entire time that they worked there, which was 7 years. Just so weird. They were at the total mercy of the wife, who was very particular and often upset with the girls and their work. It was reported that the wife only communicated with them through writing notes. So they were just like, I'm not going to speak to you. It was reported that the wife would pinch the sisters and subject them to small forms of abuse when they didn't do exactly as she asked. And no matter what, the sisters always kept to themselves and they were always together. All right, let's get into it. So on February 2nd, 1933, it was dark and it was raining. And after a shopping trip, Leonie and her daughter, Genevieve, were set to go to Leonie's brother's house. And Renee was going to meet them there. So the family was not expected to be home until later into the evening. It was around this time that Christine and Leah had finished their errands, and they had picked up an iron from a repair shop. This iron had been blowing fuses and, like, making all the power go out in the house, so they had sent it to a repair shop, and that's what they picked up. But when they brought it back and plugged it into an outlet, it blew a fuse again, and all the lights were out. But the sisters decided to wait until the morning to repair the fuse because they knew the family wasn't going to be there until super late. But Leonie and her daughter arrived early, around 5:30, because they either wanted to drop off bags or it wasn't really clear, but they just stopped by the house early, and the house was mostly dark. So when Christine informed Leonie that the iron had broke again, Leonie was sent into a violent rage. And yelling, screaming, and pretty much attacked Christine. And Christine ended up smashing a pewter jug onto Leonie's head. So a pewter jug is like a vase, like something you hold water in if you're not sure what that is. So it's a hefty item.
Yikes.
And she smashed it over Leonie's head. This led Genevieve to come to her mother's defense, and she attacked Christine. And infuriated, Christine allegedly shouted, "I am going to massacre them."
What? She was fed up. That was the last straw.
Oh, like, my God. Not massacre, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if you worked in service, if you worked in food or retail, bitch, I think you can kind of relate. But yeah. I wouldn't commit murder, but no. I feel it.
But my friend just told me that, I think it's Raw in downtown Atlanta, Midtown Atlanta, someone shot the ship. It's only funny because the person didn't die. They shot the ship manager, like one of the
raw sushi
people are from.
I was just there last week.
Yeah, and they live like walking distance from it. So he told me about it, and I was like, "What?
Are you serious?"
And at first, I was just in complete shock, but I was like, "I mean, as a server, I'm not going to shoot anybody.
Sadly,
I promise, but
wow,
you had those nights.
That's how it is. And then they weren't even getting paid that much. They had like one day off. Yeah. They were probably living.
They already got all this PTSD and trauma.
Who knows what the mom was really doing to them, or the father, and all the stuff they went through with their parents. Like, this was the last straw. She was like, I'm getting rid of everybody.
Also, I'm just picturing them in these early 1900s French dresses.
Right, and with their bustier.
Right, it's just like so dramatic.
Yes. Their hair is all done up.
Right. Oh, God.
I think they actually have a few, like, either documentaries or something about this case. So maybe we can check those out. So after Christine yelled that, "I am going to massacre them," she lunged at Genevieve and tore out her eyes with her fingers.
What?
Yeah, I gouged her eyes out.
Oh!
With her bare hands?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
I know, it turned up a little bit.
That's more than just being fed.
No,
that's
a lie. Yeah, no. She was planning this.
When she said massacre, she meant it.
No.
Leia quickly joined in. So Leia is Christine's sister. And she quickly joined in and grabbed Leonie. Christine ordered her to gouge out Leonie's eyes, which she did. So Christine ran downstairs to the kitchen to get a knife and a hammer, and she proceeded back upstairs where both girls bludgeoned and sliced the mother and the daughter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sick.
I was like, why do you need a hammer and a knife? It seems like one or the other would be sufficient.
Yeah, that's
especially because the hammer has that sharp side.
Right.
Sorry, that was a little
like, I'm shook.
Kind of dark.
I'm so shook.
Sorry, all I did was listen to true crime.
Honestly, my first thought was that she was going to use the hammer and knife like a hammer and chisel. And I was like, that is OD.
Yeah. I miss so much. I don't know, I keep saying that, but that's so...
It is.
It's all a lot. You already gouged my eyes out. Why you got to bludgeon me, too?
They tired of it. They got paid like a whole dollar for the whole 7 years they worked for them. Like, bitch, it's time. Repercussions.
Yeah.
So the sisters lifted up the skirts of the two women and began cutting into their buttocks and their thighs. And some sources say that they even spread Genevieve's menstrual blood onto her mother's body.
Oh.
I am disgusted.
No.
I know.
No, this was some kind of planned, I feel like. She was thinking about this beforehand. Because at first it sounded like bitch was just, like, she just snapped.
Yeah.
But, you know, knowing where the weapons were, well, I guess they service, so they know where all the stuff is in the house. But still,
like, it was really brutal, though. And also the fact that her sister immediately was like, shit, bitch, I'm in.
Immediately. She was like, you know what? I got you. And then jumped in.
And to do this, like...
But menstrual blood, though, like, that's a different type of hatred.
That's, like, there's something behind that I just can't, like, pinpoint.
It's giving me witch. Like, the fact that they targeted their eyes and then they're using menstrual blood.
Yes. Most definitely.
I don't know. It feels, like, ritualistic or something.
That's why I'm, like, it's something. Like, that's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So I'm, like, there's something behind that I just can't.
I listened to a Snapped episode one time and someone murdered someone and then she, like, painted their face. I think it was black or maybe it was white, but it had to do with like the religion of like her ancestors. Basically, if you obscure someone's face, they won't be recognized, so their spirit doesn't get like accepted into the spiritual realm. So I'm like wondering if like that kind of like situation is happening here at all, or maybe just mad as fuck and a little bit off.
That's what I'm saying,
because there was no evidence of that, but I mean, who knows what they were talking about in their room together. So
or not talking. Just sending telepathic messages.
So Leone and Genevieve were found with their eyes gouged out, their faces smashed beyond recognition, their legs slashed with knives, and their bodies were left naked. One crime scene analyst said that it looked like a bloody orgy. Okay, moving on. Christine and Leia proceeded to clean themselves up. They locked every door in the house. They lit one candle in their room, and then they waited for the inevitable.
A single candle. This is a movie. What the fuck?
Yeah. This sounds like too everything to be real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow.
And that's why I said it sounds so, like, premeditated, too. Because the other girl, like, she didn't have no hesitation.
Yeah, she was just
like, oh, it's time? Okay, bitch.
Right.
Literally. We doing this now?
And then they just sat in the room and waited to get arrested?
Mm-hmm. With one candle?
Yeah.
Yikes. That would have burned down the house.
Honestly. Go out something with a bang. Like,
nobody was there. At least try to run away.
Yeah.
But I guess they didn't care. So when his wife and daughter didn't show up for dinner, Renee returned home with his son-in-law.
Hmm.
And they found the door bolted from the inside and the house was in pitch darkness beside a faint glow coming from the upper level. Renee contacted the police and they broke into the townhouse. So the police entered and found the murder scene. Both women were unrecognizable as their faces had been completely demolished. Their teeth were shattered around the room, and one of Genevieve's eyes were on the top of the stairs.
Oh, my God.
It's gruesome.
These bitches didn't care.
Like, ooh.
They didn't care.
That's a lot. Broken teeth.
I know.
That hurts. I'm going to brush my teeth when I come.
Investigators later found the other eye under Genevieve's body. And Leone's eyes were found in her neck scarf.
Yikes.
Blood covered the entire scene and had even splattered the walls 2 meters above the bodies. It was reported that the investigators found the victims with their skirts up and their underwear pulled down. But during this time in France, it was improper to take photos with genitalia exposed, so the investigators pulled their skirts down before taking any photos. So after the police discovered the bodies, they searched the rest of the house, and they thought that the killer had done the same thing to the sisters. So they were looking for them to see if they were okay.
Because there's literally no way this... How old are they now? 16 and 21?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 15 and 21.
These young women, girls did this. I would never believe that.
Right.
Right.
That wouldn't be your first thought, walking in on that horrific scene.
Yeah.
These young women that are apparently, like, just doing their job, never talking to anybody. So when investigators got to the upper level, the door was locked, and they had a locksmith come in and unlock the door, and the sisters were found in bed together with their robes on. Some report that they were nude. Next to the bed on a chair lay the bloody hammer with bits of hair stuck to it.
I am stressed.
Yeah. It's just getting grosser and grosser.
It really is.
And I feel like it came out of nowhere. It's kind of like your case.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like nothing happened for a long time, and then all of a sudden they're just
boom.
Gruesome. So the police asked what happened, and the sisters immediately confessed to the crime. They claimed it was self-defense, and Christine simply said it was her
self-defense,
or us. Self-defense,
sis. Homegirls, I was on the stairs.
Exactly. Like, what are you defending us?
Self-defense.
You didn't black the bitch eye.
Right.
Like, you chopped them up.
Self-defense, and she was coming at me, so, like, I hit her the wrong way, and she died because...
Right. She hit her head or something.
Yeah.
Right.
It's definitely not, I can't even tell who this person is anymore because you bludgeoned their face.
Right.
And left their eye at the top of the stairs. Girl.
That's shattered teeth.
That's like, so purposeful.
You went. You took some sort of break to go to the kitchen to get a hammer and knife. Like, you went and got tools to come back. The fact that you even had time to do that says it's not self-defense.
Yeah, right.
Not in a real way.
And lock all the doors, light one candle, and sit there in your robes like it's a spa day. Like, girl, we're not falling for that.
Okay, so the sisters were forced apart and sent to different prisons. And Christine ended up suffering a severe mental breakdown because she wasn't with her sister. And eventually the authorities allowed a meeting between the sisters, and reportedly Christine behaved and spoke in a way that implied a sexual relationship.
Mm.
So
maybe it was true. Shit. I don't know. After all they've been through, like, I wouldn't blame them. Like I said, I don't, if I had a sister, I wouldn't want to have sex with my sister, but like, all the shit they went through with their parents and then, like, being molested by their father, possibly being molested and abused at the orphanage, it probably skewed their sense of, like, sexual attraction.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very close to this person. This is the only person who I could probably ever feel safe having sex with.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting.
So the defense argued that the sisters were temporarily insane during the time of the murder. They cited a cousin of theirs who had died in an asylum, a grandfather who was prone to violent attacks of temper, and an uncle who had committed suicide as evidence of hereditary disposition towards insanity.
Jeez. The family is cursed.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Ran in the family.
The court appointed three doctors to administer psychological evaluations to the sisters to determine whether or not that they were sane. Christine exhibited indifference toward the word and indicated she had no attachments except for Leia. And the doctors reported that Christine's affection for her sister was of family devotion, in that they did not detect any kind of sexual context within their relationship.
Hmm.
So, on the other hand, Leia looked up to Christine as a big sister or mother figure. The evaluation stated that the sisters had no pathological mental disorders, and the doctors deemed the women completely sane and indicated that their unusual close union caused the sisters to act out together. So they were deemed sane, basically, is what that's saying. The jurors only took 40 minutes to deliberate, and the court eventually decided that the sisters were guilty. Christine Papin would be put to death by guillotine in the public square at Le Mans. I know, this was the early 1900s, so they were still doing shit like this.
Oh yeah, they were still doing like biblical shit.
Right.
Like, hanging.
So literally a guillotine, which sounds like wild.
That is
so wild. Like, think that people were killed that way. So she was put to death by guillotine. She would be put to death by guillotine in the public square at Le Mans on September 30th, 1933. And Leia was considered an accomplice and given a lighter sentence of 10 years of hard labor. Right. Hard labor.
I need to know what hard labor is.
That's what I'm saying. Is it washing people's clothes?
I got like, them like breaking rocks with mallets.
I feel like that's what it, like, that's what I picture.
Yeah.
Like hammering metal when it's hot and stuff.
That's really specific.
Like the colonies on Handmaid's Tale.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Low key.
Maybe. I don't know. Because I didn't have like waste and stuff back then like that, did they? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I have no clue what it could possibly be. That sounds fucking terrible.
Yeah. So this brutal double murder enraged the city of Le Mans, and it shocked France. There had never been a brutal murder like that before. The case attracted the interest of intellectuals of the time, including psychotherapists, philosophers, and writers. And they even sympathized with the girls and argued that the murders were the manifestation of the class struggle, which is kind of what you mentioned earlier, which I thought was interesting. Like, at this time, people were talking about class struggle.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
So they believed the girls rebelled against their mean-spirited masters, reflecting the poor conditions under which the people who worked as servants to the rich lived. And prominent intellectuals held up the crime as an example of class warfare.
I wonder if, like, everybody else's domestic help got a raise after this.
No. They probably just got looked at sideways like, you better not do nothing.
Right.
Listen.
I'll fire all y'all.
Look here. You better run me that money.
Or you going to end up like the...
You heard about what happened down the street.
Down the street, right.
Listen. And we know what all your shit is. You don't. You don't know where none of that is, that bitch, because you don't even know how to make ramen noodles.
Okay. Not ramen noodles in 1930.
Right. Hello. Top grandma. Like... No, girl, listen.
I'm weak.
If I would have used that to my advantage, they probably would have fired the shit out of me, because I'd be like, you better watch the news,
run
bitch.
That coin, run it.
Not watch the news.
Top grandma. I can't continue.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm weak. Okay, so psychological experts later argued in the aftermath of the trial that the sisters suffered from, okay, this is so hard for me to say, folie à deux, the condition of shared psychosis.
Mm.
So the symptoms of this include hearing voices, sense of persecution, the capability for inciting violence, and perceived self-defense against imagined threats, and inappropriate expressions of sexuality. Which I'm like, damn, they're all of those. Those afflicted with the paranoia will often focus on a mother figure as a persecutor, and in that case it was Mrs. Lancelin. In some cases, one half of the pair will dominate the other, which was like Christine over Leia.
Mm-hmm.
So while Christine was in prison, she didn't fare well without her sister, and she exhibited bouts of madness and eventually became severely depressed and despondent, and she even tried to claw her own eyes out.
God.
Yeah. She was put into a mental institution while her sentence was commuted to life imprisonment instead of being put to death. But soon she would starve herself, and she ended up dying as a result of that in 1937.
She starved herself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder how much forethought went into that. Like, I wonder if she was so depressed and, like, stressed out that she stopped eating, or mm-hmm. if she intentionally was like, I want to die, so I'm not going to eat. Because surely there were easier ways to take your own life, even in prison.
Right. I don't know. I mean, the reports just say that she starved herself. She was depressed because she wasn't with her sister. And then she died because of it. Which, to die from starvation, like, that's a lot.
It takes a while.
It takes a very long time.
And it's, I'm sure, like, super painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she died in 1937, and at that time she was 32 years old.
Wow.
32. Oh. All of that had happened. And she was only 32.
Right. Oof, man. So, I miss a meal and I'm like,
right. Yeah, like,
I'm a different type of person.
I just keep swearing. I have a headache. I'm dizzy. I can't do nothing.
Listen, no, for real.
Starving. And then, depending on how much body fat you have, it'll take even longer because mm-hmm. your body's feeding off of that too. So, mm-hmm. I don't know how, you know, what size she was, but still, like, yeah. That's so Oof. Much. But I think it could have been a combination of both. It could have been like, she was depressed and she was just like, I just don't want to be here no more. So, mm-hmm.
I wonder if she stopped drinking water, too. That at least would have made it quicker.
I don't know.
Like, dehydration. Because I think you can only survive a few days without any water.
Mm-hmm. Right. You need water more than you would need food.
Yeah.
Damn.
So, Leo was released after 8 years on good behavior in 1941.
That's a joke.
I'm sorry, it's always really wild to me when people get out for good behavior after doing committing a like violent
yeah,
murder.
Right. So, she was sentenced to 10, and she ended up getting out after 8. And she was released in 1941, and she was 30 years old. She went to reside with her mother, which I was like, what?
Girl, what?
Why?
Not part two.
She's the reason for all of this, basically.
Literally. The root.
Literally.
So she went to live with her mom, and she basically lived a long, quiet life under an assumed name, and she worked in hotel housekeeping. So there's some accounts that said that she died in 1982. But there was a filmmaker.
That was like yesterday.
Girl, listen. You didn't see my jaw?
I mean, 1982 would have made her 71.
That's still too close for comfort.
That's so... What?
I know. But there was a filmmaker who claimed that he found Leia living in a hospice center in France. And that woman suffered a stroke and was partially paralyzed and unable to speak. And that woman passed away in 2001. So there's no real, they, I mean, most sources say 1982, but then this person claims that they found her.
Mm-mm. 2001. Wasn't she born in 1911.
So she would have been 90. I can't do it.
That's like around the time my great grandma was born.
Yeah, I think it would have been 90 years.
Wow.
No, I'm gonna go with the 1982. Even though both of those, that's like chilling to think about.
Like, she got out at 30, so she walked around at least. If she died in 1982, she was at least 70 something. So she walked out for more than half of her life, walking around living a normal ass life, people passing on the street having no idea that she gouged somebody's eyes out.
Right.
I was about to bring up the fact that she was 15, but boy, that is wild. You snatched somebody's eyeballs from their head. That
bitch, and left that shit on the stairs. I'm sorry, I will never get over that.
That's, yeah.
She didn't put them in a jar. She didn't like sit them nicely and delicately by the body. She said, bitch, oops, like she dropped it at the top of the stairs. Fuck out of here. No. And then this bitch was walking around a whole 30-year-old just like dealing with people. Oh, did she tell anybody about the murders?
Probably not. She lived under an assumed name.
But she still worked at housekeeping.
Never talkative.
Though. Yeah,
so she kept to herself. I wonder if she ever had any romantic relationships after that.
They didn't.
I'm so curious.
I really doubt it.
I doubt it too.
I wonder if she had any run-in with her managers and was like, I just want to tell this nigga what I did, you know what I'm saying? But I still got to just, I'm going to wash these sheets and I'm going to chill because, like, he don't know who he fucking with. You know what I mean?
He got
like,
the right one this
he got
time.
The right one. I was like, I'm amped up. I'm amped. Like, I would just be so, I'm so curious. Oh, no. But I can't interview her, so it's nothing.
Yeah.
She lived a long fucking time. And that's like, that just confirms my theory. Like, evil people live the longest. I don't know what it is. That's all fine. The good people die when they like 16 to 25, and then like all the evil people get to live 90. The fuck,
right?
That's even if she lived to 1982.
The thing is, if this had happened now, she would have never got out of prison.
Yeah, no,
not even after 10 years, she would have been there for life.
Yeah, no.
I did recently. Well, I might end up doing this case one day, but there was this girl who was influenced by a guy she was dating. He was like in his early 20s, but she was, I think she was like 12 or 13. Don't get me wrong. But anyway, she was convicted as a minor and they like committed some violent acts. I'm not going to give super details because I might do the story later. But because she was a minor, she ended up getting out and getting a new identity too. And like they weren't able to ever like release like if she was diagnosed with anything. It was like just this, I guess, not cracking the system because the system as a whole, it all sucks. But yeah, she got out and hurt. 20s, I think, and got to live the rest of her life too. So, like, it happens.
Yeah, I guess if you're a minor and they can show that you've been influenced or manipulated by somebody who's not a minor, then there's more room for them to be like, okay, maybe you were just with the wrong person, the wrong time, you know, that type. And maybe that's what they did with Leia because they said that she was being led by her sister.
Yeah.
Like, she wouldn't have done it by herself.
That's so complex because my gut instinct is like, nah, B, that was a lot. You didn't need to do all that. So you don't really need to be anywhere near people.
Right. And then if they really had this condition, the folie à deux or whatever, the shared psychosis, that adds a whole nother layer.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, this was a fun case to research just because it was interesting, not because the stuff was fun.
Yeah, I think at this point they know.
I don't think murder is fun.
Yeah,
I just think it's interesting to learn about it.
But that's why I won't say that like I have a favorite serial killer or favorite case because I'm like words mean things, and it's not my. I don't have a favorite serial killer. I think I have some that I find most interesting.
Right, it's just the interest in the case.
Yeah,
but
most definitely.
Yeah, so, y'all. So that was the Papillon sisters. I'll put all the resources in the show notes and we'll be back for Should This Be a Crime?
Yes.
Stay tuned. All right.
We back.
Yes, we are.
Should This Be a Crime?
Maybe, I don't know. This was a little bit harder because, you know, last week we did Sweetie and her nasty ass fucking mac and cheese and Lucky Charms.
I'm so tired of her.
I went to McDonald's and they had the whole little Sweetie meal on the menu and I was like, wow, this is a thing.
It is a thing. It's not on TikTok. It's from real life.
It's real life.
So the world has become Sorry to Bother You. Oh my god. Yeah, so this week, so this is kind of old. I've known about this for a while, but then like I saw this article and I did a little bit more research and I found some stuff and I was like, okay, cool. I want to share this with folks and see how they feel about it. So there's this restaurant called The Bando. And
the food is good.
You've been there?
I've gotten it on Uber Eats.
Oh my goodness.
But just one time.
Okay, cool. So you know that they sell like, okay, so basically the whole theme is like, it's a crack house.
And you walk in,
and it's like dishes in the sink, and it's
for real.
Yeah, it's like
the inside looks like
a crime scene, like basically like a whole trap house. Like there's like dishes in the sink, and there's supposed to be like I guess like Newports on the table, like smoke, like half smoked Newports on
the
table.
Is this for real?
No, this is dead ass. And
we're
so
definitely
then,
gonna add a picture onto the Instagram.
So then they also have. Their most controversial dish is called crack wings. And
is that what you got?
Mm-mm. It's lemon. I guess it's like lemon pepper wings or whatever flavor you get with like this sweet and sour like powder on top, like this sweet and savory powder. And like- it's supposed to look like crack, like basically all that crack powder. I don't fucking know what the fuck is going on.
I am stressed.
So I just wanted to read like a little bit of, you know, excerpt from this article on butteratl.com. This article is written by Mike Jordan. And it says, from the outside, Brandon said, it looks like any other wing joint, but once you step inside, you instantly feel like the police are going to raid the place at any moment. Some people would be worried, but I call it an authentic ATL Bando experience. And the author says, I concur. Nothing from the outside other than having a sign that says the Bando prepares you for what it looks like once you walk through the door. And it's definitely an interior design aesthetic that challenges contemporary ideas of what a restaurant should look like in order to appeal to curious customers. So, yeah. So that's basically how they, like, you know, I guess kick this off. But then they go... I'm trying to go to like exactly how these are presented because skipping through literally everything else.
This Will and Jada Ebony magazine.
We're looking at pictures. I just Googled a photo and I'm trying to
Oh, yeah, we're looking at pictures.
This is, yes, the Bando seriously has a menu item called crack wings. And I'm reading straight off the menu. It's a breaded wing fried to crispy perfection, then seasoned with a sweet and savory powder. That's literally how it's described. Crack wings are breaded, fried, seasoned with a sweet and savory powder. You know, it's like lemon pepper with powdered sugar on top, I guess. So it's like supposed to have that kettle corn effect.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I just want to know what y'all think. I don't know. Like, for me, it's a no. But the background of it is that...
Which part is the no, though? Is the no the aesthetic? Is it the crack wings? Is it the use of the word crack? Or is it just a no altogether? Like, you just don't like the concept?
I think the crack wings is what fucks with me. But just because... I don't know. Like, I really don't know how people, from an ableist perspective, I don't know how people view the crack epidemic and being able to, like, benefit off of it. Because I know folks rap about it all the time because they was in that shit. Like, they was selling crack.
It's also a thing, like, I've been seeing on TikTok and I've been seeing young white people saying crackhead energy.
Oh,
like, that's,
yeah.
That's something that's been, like, a thing. I see it all over TikTok.
I've never really liked that phrase. I don't like making light of people dealing with addiction. I would say the food is good, and I... That's not the focus of this conversation. The food is good, though. I don't know. It's just so difficult for me with, like, Black folks, like, taking our struggle and making it something else, because I think we should be allowed to do so. But when it comes to, like, who has... Because we can't gatekeep a restaurant. So when the gentrifiers come in, they want to go to the Bando, and this article's saying they're going to have an authentic Bando experience and this fetishization of like the hood, and then it gets weird for me.
And I feel like I don't know what their intentions are, but it to me, it's giving that's what they want.
Yeah.
Is they want the people who want to have a Bando, crack wings, whatever experience, who wouldn't have access to that otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they come to this place and they can pretend they're in a crack house and then go home.
Crack wings. Right. Crack wings.
That's kind of what it's giving me that. But yeah. I also don't know their intentions.
So they said their intention is to start a school. Which is, that was like a hard, yeah, that was for me. And that's why I said, like, I don't know if this should be a crime because it's like.
To start a school.
That was like a hard right, I guess, which is the opposite of a hard. Like, I don't know. I really don't know. Because, okay, says he says the idea came about when he and his business partner, Terrence Bradshaw, were brainstorming ways and ideas to generate funds for a school that they aspire to open. Burke and Bradshaw are former teachers who met at KIPP and formed a mentoring program for young black men called Building Better Brothers Academy. Their stated goal is to create a school unlike any other for the Atlanta community.
Well, now, what does that mean?
And to take at-risk boys and help mold them into positive young men using a culturally competent curriculum. And my thing is, like, I'm all for black men protecting other black men, because that's who the fuck needs to be protecting black men. Black women have been doing it since the beginning of time. So, yeah, I support the fuck out of that. Do whatever you need to do to keep these young black boys from, you know, going to the school to prison pipeline and all that shit.
Right.
But crack wings, though, like, I feel like I don't see the connection. It's not there for me. And I feel like an even cuter kind of idea would have been like a lunch, like a school lunch kind of environment. Like,
oh, like that would have been so cute. The not little Ellie about to open up the newest one. Schoolhouse wings.
Right. Literally. That's so cute.
That is very cute.
That is so fucking cute. And it's just like, they could have pulled, you could have pulled up. It don't have to be buffet style, but you could like order with the lunch lady or whatever.
That's cute.
And then, you know what I mean? Like, y'all gonna do
TM,
like a
TM. TM. No one take it.
All right. You heard it here first, folks.
Damn.
You owe me some wings.
Damn.
Hot lemon pepper, please.
With the shit on top.
Yes. No. I don't like no soup with my savory. What I'm honestly more confused about is the fact that we created a whole business to create a business. I just don't know, like, why didn't we write a grant or, like,
you know, there's so many other ways.
And I mean, I'm sure they have, like, their reasoning, and I'm sure it makes sense. And it will continue to be a profitable business so that they can, I guess, continue to fund the school, like, for however long. But it just seems like so much work. Like, opening a restaurant is super hard work.
Yeah, especially a wing restaurant in Atlanta. There's about
50 long.
Right.
Yeah, 50 long.
Which is maybe, I mean, maybe that's where they were coming from. They wanted to stand out. And I mean, we're talking about them. We're not talking about J.R. Crickets.
Yeah. Right.
So
that's also because J.R. Crickets' wings are trash.
But. Well, yeah. That is another reason. But, I mean, maybe that's what they were going for, and they just didn't have the wherewithal to think that it is, like, not appropriate. That's kind of how I feel. I don't know.
Or maybe they don't care. Maybe they feel it is appropriate. Because, I mean, some people think that everything can be profited off of. You know what I mean? And those are the same people that are always like, separate the art from the artist. And they just, like, don't mind feeding the machine no matter what it takes, you know?
Right.
Which I take issue with. But I also can't single-handedly, you know, create the fall of capitalism. So
right.
Yeah. But yeah, I just thought that was really interesting. So
that is interesting.
What is the verdict?
I think it's a crime. I'm sorry. Like, and even though I support, you know, black men helping out black boys and shit and teaching them, I just feel like there's always another way. And, you know, having a lens on, you know, ableism and, like, black liberation before you do things like this is definitely imperative, because you don't want to start a business and then, like, it ends up closing down, or you end up getting shut down because of public opinion or something like that.
Yeah.
When all you have to do is, like, a little bit of research or whatever.
Yeah.
But all in all, even though I think it's a crime, like, I hope they meet their goal. Like, I hope, you know, they're able to start the school and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you said their food was good, so.
The food slaps.
Yeah.
And maybe this will spurn more discussion. I mean, the article that you read from seems to be a positive opinion. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how many people are having this conversation, like what we're talking about, but
right,
you know, I do wish them the best. I don't know if I'd call it a crime. I'd say a ticketable offense.
Citation.
Right. A call in. But yeah, no, now I want some wings.
Right.
Yeah. Let's go to the bando.
Right. Let's check it out for ourselves. Let's have this authentic experience. All right, cute.
Yep, that's it for me.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Yes, another week.
Episode. Yes.
This is the fifth episode?
The fifth.
This is the fifth one.
We reached multiples of five now.
Right.
So you can find us on all the socials. Our Instagram is at I Ain't a Killer Podcast. Our Twitter is at I Ain't a Killer Pod. Our email address is iainakillapodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And there is a Facebook page. It's not super active right now. I think it's just more of a placeholder until we see whether or not y'all want to have a little discussion group with us.
Yeah, so let us know. We should start a group.
Yes.
Yeah, so listen, y'all.
Engage.
I'm here to talk to y'all. Okay. I ain't got shit to do. I'm in school. My license is suspended. Okay, I ain't got shit to do. Please call me.
Yeah, let us know.
All right. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.